Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish, non-Jewish people. Finally, finally, the middle wall of separation has come down, and the ancient Jewish anointing is pouring into the new covenant Christian anointing, and the middle wall of separation has come down to form what Paul calls one new man. Isn't it interesting? Scripture tells us the reason that Jesus came was to break down that middle wall of separation. Evidently, the devil reads the scriptures because he's the one that has separated these two people groups, because he knows when these two anointings really merge and form something that never was created before. It's a brand new creation. It's called one new man. We'll have the same glory on the church that Jesus had on him. And by the way, as I'm speaking to you, people are being healed anywhere they want from the neck up. Neck, head, sinuses, hearing, and anything you need. It's yours in Yeshua's name. My guest, Kathy Walters, speaking to her at her home in Macon, Georgia. But Kathy, you come from England, and you went to a wonderful church. In fact, you spent 9 years at Westminster Chapel, and famous expositor Martin Lloyd-Jones, but it wasn't enough. Why?
Martin Lloyd-Jones was a wonderful man, but there was such a lot of head knowledge, theology. You know, I had all this incredible head knowledge and incredible, all these theological doctrines, but the problem was it was all in my head. And I got so hungry for something real. I mean, I had no power. You know, we read about it and heard about it, but I had no power. I'd read scriptures like joy unspeakable and full of glory, and I'd think, well, where's that then?
And you know, let me tell you a funny story. As you know, that I'm Jewish, and coming from a Jewish background, I got radically saved, radically delivered from the devil, and I read the scriptures, and then a woman by the name of Catherine Kuhlman crossed my path and invited me to mentor me. And I said, well, all she's doing is what's normal, because that's what it says in the scriptures. I didn't realize that she wasn't normal as far as Christianity. And so that was one of the big things that I missed in my life. But when is the world going to get normal according to the scriptures? I thought everyone should be doing what I read. I didn't know any better. Then I got religious and then found out that people just don't do these things. They talk a lot about it, but they just don't do these things. So I'm on a passionate search, Kathy, and that's what you were on. And so you took off and you went to a country I've never been, but I'd like to go to, Australia, and you get yourself involved with the mafia. I mean, you couldn't go much lower. How in the world did you get out of that?
Well, I did. I was engaged to someone in the mafia. I backslid really badly. I had a God consciousness all the time, though, you know, which I pushed away. But after a couple of years of, I was actually having quite a good life. I mean, I wasn't in the gutter or on drugs or miserable. In a worldly sense, I was kind of having a good time. But one day the Holy Spirit fell on me. This anointing fell on me. And because I've never heard of the anointing, I didn't know really what all that was about. But this presence of God fell on me. And all I could hear was angels singing that old English hymn, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. And so the people I was with...
Why in the world would God do that for you? Here you are backslidden and engaged to a guy in the mafia. Why would God do that?
Well, I guess I'll tell you in a minute. He said to me, when I heard that, the words of that hymn, I started just bawling and crying, you know. And God said to me, Kathy, I'll never let you go. And that made me cry worse. And they put me in a cab, sent me home, and I spent the rest of the day trying to get right with God as best as I knew how. And I actually had a vision of Jesus on a white horse, which I'd always been taught that wasn't for today.
You mean visions?
Yeah. Huh. That wasn't for today, but it was too late, so I had the vision. It's kind of like, you know, if you're in a good old theological fundamentalist church and you go off to a convention and you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you speak in tongues and you come back and tell everyone and they say, that's not for today. And you say, well, you should have told me that yesterday. So it was kind of like that. I had the vision and this anointing fell on me because I never heard of the anointing before. I didn't know what that was. But everyone I spoke to got saved.
Everyone?
Everyone I spoke to about the Lord got saved. It almost didn't matter what I said because whatever it was on me, they just wanted it.
But what about your mafia boyfriend?
Well, I'll tell you about that. So I had all these people I was leading to the Lord, and I didn't know quite what to do with them. But then I suddenly realized, what am I going to do? Because you don't just say, I don't think I'll do this anymore. It doesn't work that way. So I kind of said to God, help. And the next day he ran into my apartment. He went to the kitchen, got a gun out of the drawer, and I thought, well, that's it. It's going to kill me now. But he just said, I'll deal with you later, and he ran out, and I never ever saw him again.
So you went back to your nice church, Westminster Chapel.
Well, what happened was, to be quite honest, because I'd been engaged to my husband, you know, David, and I suddenly thought, I wonder if David's still available. So I wrote to him, and I went back home, and we got married 6 weeks later, and by that time, you know, we realized there's something more. Lots of people realize there's something more, but they're not quite sure what it is. And the situation we were in, Westminster Chapel with all this deep theology, but we were also part of a group that was trained in personal evangelism. So it was like a group inside the church, understand? Mm-hmm. And so the group was actually made up of very worldly people, chorus girls, movie directors, actors, people like that. So we were this worldly bunch inside this very puritanical church. And people were getting stirred up at the time. They're getting hungry for something more. I knew there was something more because I'd experienced something. So we started to have a prayer meeting, a few of us, to wait on God for something, for wanting him to do something. And this is where we were at, really. We would arrange to start the prayer meeting in time to stop the prayer meeting, in time to have a glass of whiskey and a cigarette and watch the horror movie. That's where we were at.
You know what? Some people are laughing right now, but the tragedy, Kathy?
Yeah.
There are too many Christians that are still like that.
Yeah, let me tell you what happened, though. You see, we were hungry, but, you know, that's where we were at. And guess what? God showed up. He showed up because He responds to the heart. He didn't take any notice of all that mess. He showed up big time, and we got totally zapped by God. Because those things, you know, we didn't have them the next day because we weren't interested.
Well, did this little group then bring the spirit into the big group?
Well, what happened was people just kept coming from everywhere. I mean, word got around, people heard. The glory of God was on everybody. And people just were coming and coming and coming in and bringing people, and the houses, we had house meetings, the places were packed. I remember people falling out of the windows because it was so packed. I remember, no, we were on the first floor, so it's okay.
I was going to ask.
People left our house, you know, to go to the bus stop. Not a whole lot of people had cars right then, but they never made it to the bus stop. They'd just fall out in the spirit and lay in people's yards and hang on the trees and lay in the bush.
You've seen a real revival, not the things they hang out the sign on the Baptist church and they say revival meeting.
Yeah. The neighbors would call the police and the police would come and scrape them up and bring them back to our house.
Kathy, let's hold that thought right there. And I want to talk about the three books that we are offering.
Yeah.
The Visitation,
yeah.
Living in the Supernatural, and the Spirit of False Judgment.
Yeah.
And all three will intrigue our listeners. The Visitation, you've been in heaven for at one point. It was over a three-week period going back and forth and a week in heaven. And you talk about your experiences, but what is even more interesting to me is you say, everyone can have these experiences. Okay. The second book that you have is Living in the Supernatural, and you say, and I say, that's normal, and everyone can move in that, and you teach on that. And then the third book is probably the most significant one. That's called the spirit of false judgment.
Yeah.
And it's really how to recognize religious spirits. And I don't know about you, but they're tricky. And I know a lot about them because I hate them. But, you know, you realize they're on one side and then you see them on another side.
Right.
What type of feedback are you getting on these three books?
Well, the Living in the Supernatural is really basic. It's what I, you know, it's to replace some of the mindsets that have gone into people. And the main spirit I see in the body of Christ that affects people is what I call a qualifying spirit. And it's so subtle because it's not anything that's taught, but it's implied. And it manifests as a feeling. It sits on the back of the mind. And this is how it works. If I have a whole conference of people and I ask them about salvation, everyone knows they're saved by faith. But when I say the realm of the spirit, the supernatural realm, the angels, heavenly visitations, the chariots of God, all that good stuff, that's supposed to be a normal part of your life. Guess what? Most people don't feel qualified because they think it's for him or her, the other side of the room, because they're more spiritual than me. So right at that point, see, they stop receiving because they don't feel.
Listen, you told me when we got on the air that you were just at a church and you prayed for the pastor.
Yes.
And what happened to him?
Well, I kind of prayed for everybody. But I was praying for people at the end. I looked around to try and find him to come and help me pray for these other people. And one of the elders told me, well, he's under the piano. So I said, they said, shall we get him up? And I said, no, leave him alone. Well, he told me afterwards he went on 5 chariot rides.
But this is not unusual. Many people do when you pray for them.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you what, this is normal. I want chariot rides to see things from God's perspective in the spirit. We're asking for a donation of $20, the set of the 3 books. Call or write today. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.